You are listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Stay tuned for the Heartland Labor Forum, radio that talks back to the boss. Welcome to the Heartland Labor Forum, a weekly show of news, information, and commentary by and for the working people of Kansas City. This show is produced by a team of volunteers from a broad range of workplaces and unions. The views expressed on the Heartland Labor Forum are ours and not necessarily those of KKFI or any unions involved. And welcome again to the Heartland Labor Forum. I'm Judy Ansel. Tonight's show is being underwritten by Office and Professional Employees Local 277 and Pipefitters Local 533. OPEIU Local 277 represents over 10,000 professionals working in various sectors across the United States and New Zealand. Local 277 includes clerical and technical employees in aircraft, manufacturing, banking, and the insurance industry, as well as insurance agents, booksellers, nonprofit employees, administrative assistants, and many of the clerical employees of our local unions. And Pipefitters, Local 533, being the best in the industry is earned. Our craftsmanship, brotherhood, training, and job safety make the difference. Building and buying union create better wages and living standards for all working families. And the Heartland Labor Forum on KKFI thank our underwriters for their support. On tonight's show, the debate is raging between labor and activist groups on whether or not to support the 40-year half-cent sales tax for the Royals to build a new stadium in the Crossroads and to improve Arrowhead Stadium. Tonight, we'll hear from both sides, or two sides. There's probably more than two. Ralph Oropeza of the Kansas City Building Trades, who is supporting the tax, and from KC Tenants, who are opposing, along with some Crossroads group. We'll have Brian Hollaby and Valerie Brooks Davis from KC Tenants. So stay tuned. In the news, a bunch of announcements this week on new business coming to town with jobs. And Stand Up KC breaks off negotiations with the Royals. Meanwhile, the Royals announce their community benefits without agreement from Stand Up KC. And HCA Healthcare made $5 billion last year in profits, but doesn't want to hire enough nurses. Our feature at the end of the show is Know Your Rights with Michael Amesh, with a scary story about Elon Musk's attack on our fundamental labor rights. Now for the news. And now for the news from our side, March 21st, 2024. First off, it's a 3/8 cent sales tax, not a 1/2 cent sales tax. That's at issue in the April 2nd election. And the big issues, of course, this week in the news and on tonight's show are, of course, that vote on April 2nd for the new Royal Stadium. And before we get to the arguments pro and con, here's some news. Yesterday, both the Royals and the Chiefs announced that they had reached community benefits agreements worth nearly $270 million. It's not clear with whom these are, but the Royals said they are still working with Crossroads Community Association, Arts KC, and the Kansas City Public Schools on other benefits agreements. In announcing the benefits, Royals owner John Sherman said, "As I have said from the very beginning, we are committed to Jackson County. And these historic agreements represent both how both teams will help lift up our fellow neighbors, from providing workforce benefits and assistance diversity assistance, diversity benefits, affordable housing, educational programs, and expanded mass transit. Members of the Good Jobs and Affordable Housing for All Coalition disagreed. And on Tuesday, after the Royals missed a deadline for agreement that the coalition had imposed, they pulled out and held a rally in front of the Jackson County Courthouse doors to announce their opposition to the 3-cent sales tax. Notably, SEIU Local 1, which represents many of the people who work at the ballpark and who need an agreement from the Royals that they will have a job and union security in a new stadium, stayed in the negotiations. In a press release, Stand Up KC and the Missouri Workers Center, along with the Heartland Center for Jobs and Freedom, said the Royals Community Benefits announcement, it is, quote, far from reflective of any significant input, unquote. They claim to have gathered. At the end of the day, the Royals are asking for $1.7 billion in taxpayer financing for their new ballpark and entertainment district while offering relative pennies and dimes in terms of community benefit. Moreover, the Royals have given themselves outsized power in making appointments to the Community Benefits Board, responsible for determining how funds will be spent. Beyond this arrangement being completely unnecessary and inappropriate, it emits a clear indication that community members will have any meaningful say in the discussions regarding allotment of funds and enforcement. The low-wage workers and tenants we represent are worth more, which is why the Royals, after our every effort over the last year to arrive at a fair CBA with living wage union jobs and truly affordable housing, left us no chance but to walk away from their bad faith negotiations, unquote. At the rally, United Auto Workers Local 249 appeared to endorse the Vote No campaign and sent its representative, Gary Thomas, who had this to say.
We are building the playgrounds of the rich that we are not allowed to be in.
That ain't right!
Do you think anybody behind me can afford to live in those houses, those apartments they're building? Can we afford to go to the game?
No!
Can we afford to eat at the restaurants?
No!
No, because we are building something that we cannot step into, and that ain't right. We are not the piggy banks for the billionaires. And every time the working class asks to fund another billionaire, we are diminished as a community and as a society. We cannot afford for our public schools. We cannot afford for our housing. We cannot afford for our transportation. We lose every single time they ask us to fund something for them, we lose. John Sherman has the money. He has it.
Say it.
John Sherman has the money. We don't.
The Kansas City Beacon today had a story about the launch of collective bargaining negotiations between the registered nurses at Menora and Research Hospitals and the HCA, the hospital owners. The story highlighted the primary issues raised by National Nurses Union and its members at the KC hospitals and hospitals across the country, that is staffing. The article reported that last year a record number of work stoppages occurred in healthcare with thousands of nurses, including, according to the website, Nurses Together, the massive strike of 75,000 nurses, technicians, and support staff at Kaiser Permanente in October. Healthcare workers are unionized in increasing numbers. The article cited a 2022 study in the Journal of American Medical Association found that healthcare workers represented by unions between 2009 and 2021 made better wages and got better benefits, like full premium cover healthcare insurance, retirement benefits, than those without unions. The study also found that unions helped ease the pay disparity between white workers and racial and ethnic minority groups. In 2022, the Kansas City registered nurses, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, had a mean annual salary of $75,580. Nationally, the mean salary for nurses was $89,010 in 22, up from $77,460
in 2019. It seems like both construction and the addition of new jobs is booming in the area. Here's some announcements from this week. Google announced it is expanding its presence in the Midwest with a $1 billion investment in a new data center in Kansas City, Missouri, at the Hunt Midwest Business Center. It will create 100 operational jobs and 1,200 construction jobs. That's on top of the new Meta data center already under construction. Meanwhile, Governor Laura Kelly announced a couple of major projects here. First, the H&T Recharge, one of the largest battery component manufacturers in the world, is investing $110 million in creating 180 new jobs in DeSoto. She also announced that GAF, a Standard Industries company and North America's largest roofing and waterproofing manufacturer, will invest more than $300 million in Newton, Kansas, by constructing a new shingle plant. The estimate 130 high-skilled manufacturing jobs in management, engineering, and operations. And finally, just today, Governor Kelly announced that Marvin, a premium window manufacturer of windows and doors, has selected Kansas City, Kansas for its latest manufacturing facility. Marvin is investing $76.5 million to build a 400,000 square foot facility in the Scannell 435 Logistics Center. With some hope, Marvin expects to employ a 600-person workforce in Kansas City by 2028. The news tonight was read by Judy Ansel, Michael Savoy, and I'm Tom Gipkin. Was Centerfold by John Fogerty. The disclaimer that I want to read is this. Our guest views are their own or their organizations, but are not the views of Heartland Labor Forum or KKFI. We are providing this program to you, our listeners, in an effort to inform you and to encourage you to go out and vote on April 2nd. Jackson County voters will have a chance on April 2nd to vote on a 3/8 cent sales tax. This tax will pay for maintenance of a new Royal Stadium to be built downtown and for maintenance of a refurbished Arrowhead Stadium. There's a lot of unanswered questions and very little time for all the stakeholders to get information out to the voter who will place their vote very soon. On tonight's show, we'll talk with Ralph Oropeza. He's business manager of the Kansas City Building Trades. He'll discuss the work he and his team have done to make sure the entire community benefits from this massive project, from the building of the structures to the workers who will be working at the completed stadiums. Ralph, thanks for taking time to come onto the show.
Tom, thank you for having me.
You've been working behind the scenes as well as out front to make sure these stadiums are union built. Will you talk about that?
I will. My job, I'm tasked with representing the building trades of Kansas City. And one of the things that's absolutely at the top of our concern is whether or not these stadiums will be renovated and built Union, and they will be. What does that mean? Well, that means a lot. That means that voting yes in support of that will support the men and women of the building trades that will have the jobs that are do this mega structure of the Royals and do the renovation. How does that reflect to the people of Kansas City? Well, it offers a huge opportunity to be able to join our members and to join our numbers and to get into a skilled trade.
And by skilled trade, the apprenticeship program will bring new people in, learn the crafts of all of the building trades.
That's correct. And obviously, we're in competition with a lot of corporations for working people. And one of the things that we've set our sight on now is these young students that absolutely maybe not built for college or economically, or maybe they're just not interested in going to college. And so what we want is to invite them into a career change. Traditionally, people have always said college, 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 and it's been proven that that's not absolutely the right way of doing it. So through our apprenticeship programs, you develop a craft, a skill set, and a career free of charge. The only things maybe you have to pay for some books or whatever, but you get great benefits, great retirement, and absolutely a great wage.
It's a career, and it's a life changer.
It is. It changed my life 33 years ago. I'm a son of an immigrant parents, very poor, didn't even speak the language. And when I received my opportunity 33 years ago, it changed my life forever. And here I am now, first-generation American. Spanish is my first language, but yet I'm the head of the building trades. So it's achievable. So that's the message. How can we get out there to get people to join our ranks? Well, an opportunity like a Royal Stadium downtown absolutely gives opportunity where a lot of people may not have that same opportunity. This just creates more jobs. It creates more opportunity, more avenues for people that come from these neighborhoods that don't have the means to go to college. But it does give them a means to get a trade and absolutely better their lives.
People from the margins can come in, they can be apprentices, they can learn skills, and they can work in that career until they retire.
They can, or they can decide to become a business owner and be an entrepreneur of the skill that they just learned. They could become, you know, if they're in the bricklayer or they're an iron worker or whatever, they can own their own company. They're an electrician, they can own their own company. And these are opportunities that we absolutely try to persuade them to go into and to become an owner. And I think sometimes people have forgotten that to become really successful at a business, you probably ought to know about that business. And through our apprenticeship programs, you absolutely become a master of what you do.
Well, one of the things that you have had to do is go to and visit with the Jackson County Legislature, probably the county executive. Mm-hmm. And would you tell us, our audience, about that?
Yeah, so obviously the Jackson County executive's against this, and that's unfortunate because we've supported the Jackson County legislators and the executive on many things. What we represent is prevailing wage. We represent the highest standard, and what we represent is the highest standard of doing what we do. And to say no to this is turning your back on us. To say no to building this is saying that, hey, we don't, you union guys, you skilled labor guys, we don't want to support you. And I've had to actually have those conversations with our legislators, and luckily a lot of them support us and want us to be the standard. They want us to be the standard in our city. They want us to be the standard in our communities because they understand what it is to have this type of skill, to be able to demonstrate it and to build. If you look around, Tom, this city, you look around the skyline, we built this. It's the building trades that built the skyline. It's our apprenticeships. It's our century-old apprenticeships that have done this. And we're just wanting to keep growing with it.
As you work through this all, you're kind of required to work with other stakeholders. There are all kinds of competing interests in this arena right now. They're all working towards the same goal, but they have their own avenues that they want to address. As the business manager of the building trades, you need to prioritize And how do you thread this needle? Because I know you want to bring everybody along with you. So how do you do that?
Yeah, Tom, it's a great question. And I think if you remember when we had an interview a while back, and if you looked at some of the things that I said that this is an opportunity for me to represent everyone, not only the construction, but also the people that have been left behind. A basic human right is a good living wage, you know, so that you can live comfortably. To me, that's a basic human right. And that's what we represent. All along, I have been asking some of these community groups to please be patient and join us, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. And what has turned out is that a few of the communities have now turned their back on us and they're saying no. And that's really disheartening because I can't help you if you're against us. And when they're saying no to this, that means that they're against building trades. And that's disheartening.
We're talking with Ralph Oropeza. He's the business manager of the Kansas City Building Trades, and he's out front in this trying to get a new stadium here in Kansas City. Well, voters will make this decision. There are groups that want to keep everything where they are. The thought is voting down will keep the stadiums where they are at the current complex, and those two facilities will be revamped and modernized. Do you think the teams will find this acceptable, or will they look elsewhere for a new stadium?
I'm hoping they don't look elsewhere, but it's been pretty clear that they probably will look elsewhere. About the thought that the stadium, the Royal Stadium, let's just talk about Royal Stadium for a second. I've worked on that stadium. I've actually did the rent. I was part of the renovation that happened a few years ago. And I saw people laughing the other day in the audience that when they said there's concrete cancer. Well, it was actually true. I actually worked on that. We had anchors not being able to adhere because some of the concrete is bad there. And we're looking, and when you talk about renovation, is this sustainable for the next 40 years? That's what people are losing sight of. This is, yeah, we can go patch something up, but is it going to last another 10 years? So then now we're here again in 10 years, right? That's not smart. That's not financially, that's not smart. So let's just do it the correct way. Let's just build a new structure.
One of the things that I've heard mentioned on different shows and stuff is that, well, if it's bad at Royal Stadium, how come it's not bad at Arrowhead Stadium? Weren't they the same concrete batch? I don't know the answer to that. What do you think?
I wasn't there when that was built, but batches are different. They're not the same. They can actually be different. And there's been studies that have actually shown, and they've been provided to the Jackson County legislator on actually what that study was. And it's proven fact that that concrete is not sustainable. So was I there? No. So I don't know how it was. But, yeah, one got the good one, one got the bad one.
Luck of the draw. What else do the voters need to know so they can make an educated decision?
So the biggest thing that's not being talked about, one of the things that I think is that we have an absolute gem of a area there that's close by that's called the West Side. And a lot of voters aren't even considering the economic boost that the West Side is going to get. With all the eateries, the old Mexican restaurants, the liquor stores there, the Town Topic, even down the street, Rosedale Barbecue, all those eateries are absolutely going to get an absolute injection of economic growth. Those are important. Where that old Hispanic avenue has been forgotten. And this is an absolute gem. This is good. People can actually go eat at those eateries and then walk to a baseball game. How exciting that can be. The other thing that I want to talk about is what people need to remember is that progress is a good thing. Change is hard for people to understand. But construction, this is absolutely what's meaningful to Kansas City. If we want to be call ourselves a major league city, then we need to actually bring more business to our area. This will happen. This will absolutely bring more and more growth to our city. So while people may not like change, it's very good. And for us construction guys, change is good because we actually, our pension funds grow, our retirements grow, we give back to our communities, we pay more taxes. This is how it works for us in the construction industry. So if you say no to that, that means you're saying no to your neighbor because a lot of us are in the building trades.
Is there an agreement to have an MBE and a WBE. Would you talk about that?
Yeah, so a lot of initiativized programs have minority business employer and or women business employer programs put into this, and that helps. That helps a lot. That it's inclusive to a lot of people of color, and it helps them. I also want to see it a step further, where our workforce gets an influx of people of color, like myself or the Black community, get to come in and absolutely become members and work and learn a skill. Women, we need more women to join our ranks. And these are the kind of things that absolutely help set the pathway to that. So when you say no to that, you're closing that off.
When you bring in the minorities and the women, other people, their neighbors, their friends' kids, they see the success that that person is having, and that encourages them to maybe want to be in the trades, and then it will just grow organically.
Absolutely. That's how you do it, grassroots. You know, so many years we've been called the good old boy. Well, it was good old boy because back in the day, that's kind of what they did. The son, the dad, the grandfather, then the uncle, and the nephew, that's how it was. Well, now, if we take it a step further, if you become that trendsetter for your family, it will follow you.
Let's see. What else would you like to tell us in the minute we have left?
In the minute that I have left, well, there's a lot I'd like to say. But what I will say is that I don't want people to say that, hey, labor isn't with this. Labor absolutely is for this. It is the construction trades that want this to happen, because it absolutely will bring an economic boost to our labor unions. And that then will transpire for us taking more people into our programs and having this kind of growth that will exponentially be even greater for our future. We need the numbers. We need more people to join our ranks. And the way this happens is for these mega structures to happen, these mega jobs to happen. Absolutely. It makes it viable for us to include all kinds of people to join our ranks.
Now, I was visiting with someone today, and we were talking about this, and they were saying that the building and trades is already having to bring people in from out of town.
Mm-hmm.
With all the work, even in our news, we talked about all the projects going on. How will you fill the ranks with this stadiums and the stadium revamp?
That's building? A great question. Kansas City has a great – our benefit packet is absolutely top-notch. We will attract people to come here. And with more growth and more construction jobs, that means our economic packages get even better, so that we're able to offer more income, more retirement, things of that nature. And it opens up our apprenticeships to even get bigger.
Will people come from California, Oklahoma, or, you know, Kansas City will be an attraction for a place?
Absolutely.
So it will grow.
Yeah, so they're already here working on the data centers. They're just going to – that will spread. People will come.
Well, good. We've just been given a couple more minutes, Ralph.
Oh, nice.
Let's see. Let's talk about the football stadium. What plans do they have for the football stadium?
So that'll be a renovation, and it'll be a complete makeover. They'll add more event space there. They'll add for more concerts and things of that nature. It just provides even – it's not as large as what the Royal Stadium will be, but it'll be significant, and it will absolutely provide a lot of jobs for people to – so we talk about concerts. Well – If the Royals have that whole facility, so during the baseball season when they're sharing it with the Royals now, well, that'll be open for them and their new facility there to be able to hold more concerts, more attractions, you know, and so that just brings more business into our area. So that's what that means.
Are you going to do both projects at the same time?
No. The Royal Stadium would be first. They hope to be open in 28. They want to have butts in the seat in 28. We got this thing, this little thing called the World Cup coming in between, and that will occupy the Arrowhead Stadium. And so that's a big structure in itself. That's a big job that's going on right now.
A lot of work.
There's a ton of work, absolutely. And we want people to join us. We want people to be in our ranks. We want people to be with our trades. And this offers an opportunity for people to join us. I can't stress enough how important it is that if college isn't for you, to get a hold of the building trades and absolutely try to get in. Because what it does, it will change your life. I promise you, it changed mine 33 years ago.
All right. Well, our time is up, Ralph. Thanks for coming on, and our audience has a lot more information than they had before we started. I appreciate you coming on and taking the time to do this.
I appreciate it, Tom. And anytime you get a chance to ask me about membership development, talk to me. I want people to join us.
Is there anything they can, any place they can go, like online?
Yeah, you can reach out. Whatever trade there is, every trade has, just like if you want to be an iron worker, just look up iron worker in Kansas City. If you want to be IBEW or electricians, look up IBEW. And every website there is has a way to get on it. You can also read unionbuilt.org. You can reach us there.
Call the Kansas City AFL-CIO.
Call Dukovich over there. He'll send you in the right direction.
There's plenty of work.
Mm-hmm.
Tune in every third Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. for the People Power Hour, brought to you by KC Tenants. Every episode will address different aspects of the tenant struggle and America's problematic history with housing by providing in-depth historical analysis, testimonials, and stories from leaders who organize in their communities and who envision a better world where housing is treated as a human right. So please tune in every third Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. for the People Power Hour, brought to you by KC Tenants.
Do you love community radio and believe in KKFI's mission? Would you like to serve your community by helping lead KKFI into the future? KKFI is always looking for leaders from the Kansas City community to join and help our board of directors. Express your interest by applying to be a volunteer at kkfi.org/volunteer. Together, we can shape the future of Kansas City Community Radio.
Come all of you good workers, this news to you I'll tell. The rights we take for granted now, we have no right to sell. Does anyone remember the days with bold John L? It's thanks to him no child of mine will know the breaker's hell. Tell me, which side are you on?
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 Hi, I'm Michael Savoie, your host on this, the second half of tonight's show, titled The 3/8 Cents Sales Tax, Pro and Con. This is the con. Our musical prelude, Which Side Are You On? By Ann Feeney. My guests tonight are Brian Hullaby and Valerie Brooks Davis of the KC Tenants. Before we jump into the meat and potatoes of the show, I would like to say that the views and opinions expressed here are those of our guests or their organization and do not represent the opinions of the Heartland Labor Forum, KKFI, or the Mid-Coast Radio Project. We are providing this program to you, our listeners, in an effort to inform and encourage you to go out to the polls and vote on April the 2nd. That said, who would have ever thought that something so simple could so sharply divide our community? Many are saying that the sharp divide may be a direct result of the way the Royals have marketed this program or campaign. What say you, Brian?
I would say that's exactly why people are so divided on this issue. People have felt lied to, tossed around, used by John Sherman and the rails. We've heard different locations of where it's going to be. We've heard that businesses that are on the crossroads have said that they've been haven't spoken to the rails, but the rails are saying that they have. And so people see that, and people feel it, and it's divided a lot of people. Not to mention the scare tactics that the Chiefs and rails are using, threatening to leave. And so a lot of people are making an emotional decision on the stadium based on their love for the sports and for the teams. And yeah, that has divided a lot of people.
Val, would you say that the alleged misinformation and distortions are accurate?
Yes, I would. And I say that in terms of they're not actually, the Royals are not actually giving us any information. They're not being transparent, I should say. And so we don't even know exactly what we're voting on except for the tax, whether it's going to continue or not. Because they're just not giving us any good information.
Mm-hmm. Would you consider the threat of both teams leaving to be an intimidating factor?
Of course that is. And that's because we love our baseball and football teams. You know, we love our sports teams here in Kansas City. And definitely they're actually bullying us into making a decision based on no real information.
Mm-hmm. Brian, would you think coercion has been a factor in this campaign?
Absolutely. Threatening to move our beloved sports teams out of the city, like Val said, without giving us any concrete information about how much it's actually going to cost. Let's not forget that this tax is not the only cost to the city. They're likely going to go to the city for more money, and that's going to come out of our pockets as well.
Exactly.
And, you know, it really feels kind of like being held hostage. We're essentially hostages negotiating for our own release. And that's no way to start a negotiation, and that's not a good faith effort from the Royals or the Chiefs in regards to their negotiation tactics.
Mm-hmm. So tell me, Brian, what is Kansas City Tenants' position on this stadium tax?
Well, of course, we're a no vote, like we've been talking about. But first, we love this city. We love our sports teams. I know people don't think we do, but there's a lot of sports fans within KC Tenants.
Yes, and it is. I'm one.
As am I. If you look at my Twitter feed, it's literally nothing but Chiefs information and Chiefs fandom. But we can't fund our own displacement.
Right.
You know, people are struggling to pay rent. They're struggling to find decent homes. And the proposed downtown stadium would do nothing but usher in more gentrification. Just like it has in other cities that have tried to do the same thing. We have a vision for a better Kansas City, one where these public resources are used for public goods, like housing, schools, mental health services, transportation, and lots more things that do more to benefit the city in totality and the people who have often been left behind by the city. But so far, this stadium, this tax, it does nothing. It does absolutely nothing to benefit people like me.
Mm-hmm. Val, could you tell our listeners how KC Tenants came to oppose this tax? Was it a...
Yes. We came to oppose... KC Tenants came to oppose the stadium sales tax. We were engaged in extensive research, including formal engagements with the Royals, before taking our formal position in February. We waited until after the location announcement and until we had all the details we could find about the proposal. As with every decision that KC Tenants make, our stadium position was the outcome of a democratic vote among our union members.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the exercise of democracy prevails at KC Tenants.
Yes, it does.
Always.
Okay, okay, though. Who wants the sales tax passed? Brian, and what are they doing to make it happen, man, other than what we've outlined already in terms of those, well,
Well, the people who want the sales tax are not just billionaires like John Sherman, but you just had people on who want the tax and want the stadium. But we've gone over the tactics that some of them have been using to force people into, like I said, making a sometimes emotional decision about the love of their teams versus what's good for the city and good for the people in the city. But as far as who wants it, it's the state, it's rich people, it's John Sherman and his friends, it's millionaires, it's a lot of people who don't live in Jackson County and won't have to pay this tax, people who drive in from outside the city. Of course they would want this tax and they want to go to a nice new stadium, and they have no stake in what this city looks like without the stadium and what we've built in the crossroads there now. They have no stake in that, and they don't have to live next door to people who could be displaced by the stadium, or people who are losing money because of the stadium. And so therefore they want it, but they don't really know, or don't really have a clear understanding of what that actually means sometimes.
And think about it. The main proponents of the stadium sales tax is John Sherman. His net worth is $1.25 billion. The owner of the Royals, you know, and he bought the Royals in November of 2019 for approximately $1 billion. Sherman is dead set on moving the Royal Stadium downtown, mostly hoping that a different location will compensate for a losing streak and low ticket sales. The Chiefs owner, Clark Hunt, net worth $2 billion, recently rated F-, the worst team owner in the NFL, is alone for the ride, but doesn't seem to be seem as bought in to this process. The Chiefs seem to know that they could come back without the Royals and have a better go at public funding. The team's owners, they have recruited some unsurprising allies, mostly in the local business community and establishment political circles. The trade unions are supporting the tax because they see developments like this as a way to get jobs. Together, the team's owners are spending more than $2 million to pass the tax. That is a lot of money for a local election. They are flooding the city with fancy TV ads and mailers. Clearly, they have money to pay for things themselves, but they see this as a great investment. $2 million to make enough, to make us enough for $2 billion.
Mm-hmm. Brian, could you explain the confusion about whether or not this is a new tax or an old tax, or seems to be some distortion about that?
It's a new tax. I know we like to say that it's it's the extension of an existing tax, but we pay a 3/4 sales tax now, which generates about $50 million in annual revenue for the Royals and the Chiefs. That's actually more than Jackson County has ever spent on anything. So more than housing, more than mental health services, more than anything you can think of. And so the current tax that we pay was passed in 2006, and it's set to expire in 2031. What this ballot measure actually asks is to repeal that tax and pass a new one, which would last 40 years. So the people who will pay the most for this tax are not even old enough to vote on it. Someone who was born this year will be paying this tax until they're 40. Our kids, grandkids, and probably our great-grandkids are going to be on the hook for this tax. And so, also, just so everybody know that the teams are insisting that this plan is not a new tax. That is flat-out wrong. It's flat-out misinformation. And so just want people to really fully digest that and understand what this tax actually means.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been quite a bit of controversy about what the actual cost is. Is that been well defined, Val? No. Brian, could you respond to that? The actual cost?
Well, we don't know what the actual cost is because they haven't told us what the actual cost is.
Right.
At most, we have a roundabout figure of what they want, but that's not what's required to do all of the construction and development that they want.
Mm-hmm.
This sales tax is the county sales tax, but it doesn't end there. They're going to come back to the city for more money.
For more money,
and that's probably going to be another tax. So, and then they're going to go to the state. And Governor Parsons has said that he would like for the sales tax to, the 3A sales tax, the cent sales tax to pass first. Then John Sherman can go to the state to ask for more money. And so, you know, we could be taxed two or three times over for this new stadium. And the fact that the Royals are flat out ignoring people's requests to hear more about this, to get actual facts about how much it's going to cost, they've just ignored it. They're hoping that we go, based on our emotions and our love for the team and not what this tax actually does.
Mm-hmm. So I'm hearing you say there's likely to be some cost overruns that will
absolutely
be.
There's no chance that it only costs what they're saying it costs now, which who knows, because they won't even give us that answer.
Mm-hmm.
Val, could you tell us quickly, we're down in the last 3 minutes, what entities in our community would be most impacted by this tax?
I would say the schools, our public schools, our transportation, infrastructure. Those are other things that this money could be used for. Those parts, the art district itself, the crossroads itself, those people are going to be displaced.
Mm-hmm. So let's take a minute to focus on the community benefits agreement. Many have acted as if that's a panacea. We're just waiting on this magic community benefits agreement. What's your opinion on that? And I see that one was finally revealed.
What community benefits agreement? Right. I saw a vague document with no facts. I saw Manny likes to call a binding agreement, but it's not a legally binding
agreement.
Mm-hmm. It looks kind of like, it reminds me of those old templates they had on like Microsoft Word back in the day. Like you couldn't figure out how to type your resume. You go to a template for a resume and just like copy paste your stuff over it. It looks kind of like that. There's no facts on it. It's not legally binding. There's no numbers on it. It's just a bunch of vague promises that can't be enforced unless the Royals or the Chiefs want them to be enforced. And a big part of this vague community benefits agreement is that they would appoint their own board responsible for allocating that the funds that they say they're going to allocate. And on what planet is that fair? On what planet is that the community having a place in the negotiations and a say? It's completely bonkers.
And I believe that they just, because remember, they just came out with this on yesterday after Casey Tenets and other folks have said vote no. We rallied and voted on yesterday, on Tuesday, the first day of early voting, and then they came out with that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I think that they came out with that. I'm sorry. I think that they came out with that just to appease the public.
I hear you. Well, listen, we're nearing the end of our time. I would like to think that they're certainly honest with the community they serve. They said they wanted to be a partner with the community. But, of course, in closing, I would like to ask you, how can our listeners, if they have any questions about Casey Tenet's position, where could they find information along that line?
They can go to the website, kctenets.org. They can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, all of those at KC Tenants. It's KCT Well, KC tenants.
Well, let me thank both of you for joining us tonight on the Heartland Labor Forum. We certainly appreciate your insight and your information as it relates to keeping our city well informed.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having us.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so
much.
Thank
you for being here.
Good evening, and welcome to another edition of Know Your Rights. This is Michael Amash with the law firm of Blake & Ulig. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Who's the new boss? Well, among them is, we'll call him eccentric to be kind, billionaire Elon Musk. For those of you who aren't aware, Elon Musk is no fan of labor unions, and he's no fan of the National Labor Relations Board. Currently, his company SpaceX is engaged in a legal battle to try to, in effect, do away with the National Labor Relations Board and the National Labor Relations Act. Now, you may think that the National Labor Relations Act was safe from constitutional scrutiny, given that it was passed in 1935 and its provisions have been enforced by the Supreme Court every year since. However, Elon Musk's SpaceX, along with some of our other favorite corporations, Amazon, Trader Joe's, are seizing on recent Supreme Court precedent by the conservative majority of the Supreme Court to try to upend the regulatory state and do away with the National Labor Relations Act. SpaceX's complaint against the National Labor Relations Board follows on the heels of an administrative complaint filed by the NLRB's regional office, regional office number 31, alleging the company unlawfully fired 8 employees after they circulated an open letter to all employees critical of the company and the company's CEO, Elon Musk. Mr. Musk did not like this. In response to the administrative complaint filed by Region 31, SpaceX is asking a federal court to enjoin the NLRB's complaint and declare that the NLRB's structure is unconstitutional in that it limits the removal of NLRB administrative law judges and board members and permits board members to exercise executive, legislative, and judicial power in the same administrative proceeding. And number 2, that the board's new expanded remedies violate employers' constitutional right to a trial by jury. Now, SpaceX is not alone in this battle to find the National Labor Relations Board unconstitutional. Seizing on SpaceX's efforts, Amazon, Trader Joe's, and Starbucks have all piled on and engaged in their own legal battles to try to have the NLRB declared unconstitutional. So after 90 years of enforcement of the National Labor Relations Act, why are these companies, these huge companies, attacking the National Labor Relations Board? Well, collectively, these companies have been charged with hundreds of violations of the National Labor Relations Act. There are currently approximately 740 open or settled cases against Starbucks. There are approximately 250 open or settled cases against Amazon. So all of these companies have seen an uptick in workers' efforts to join and form a union and organize collectively and exercise their rights protected by the Act. These companies also seem to be attempting to capitalize on the current conservative Supreme Court. And this current Supreme Court has made it clear that it is sympathetic in efforts to unwind or undo the quote-unquote regulatory state. The Supreme Court's conservative majority has seemed more than willing to undermine regulatory agencies' attempt to enforce their statutorily protected powers. We have seen this in the court's decisions against the Environmental Protection Agency, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and the Securities and Exchange Commission. So instead of respecting their employees' rights to organize and to exercise collective rights and respecting the law that has been in place for 90 years, SpaceX, Amazon, Trader Joe's, and many other large corporations instead look to the courts and a new conservative majority in the court that seems willing to undermine statutes that protect American people and its workers. Now, whether they will be successful is in serious doubt. SpaceX floats long-rejected legal arguments that have failed in the past and should fail again. That is all the time we have this month. For Know Your Rights, this is Mike Amash.
And now for the Heartland Labor Forum calendar. Labor Notes Online Steward Workshop Assertive Grievance Handling. That'll be Thursday, March 21st. That's today at 7 p.m., 7 to 8:30 p.m. It's online. And you can hurry up and register at labornotes.org/events. Wyandotte County Democratic Breakfast, celebrating its 20th anniversary, March 23rd, that's Saturday, 8:15 for breakfast, 9 o'clock for speakers at Las Islas Maria, 4929 State Avenue, KCK. Speakers are Representative Sharice Davids, Senator Pat Petty, and Representative Vic Miller. The Revolving Academic Door, African American Women in Higher Ed, March 24th, 3 p.m. at William Jewell College, Yates Gill College Union, room 121. Kansas City Coalition of Labor Union Women is meeting Saturday, March 30th, 10:30 a.m. at the American Postal Workers Hall at 3824 East 16th Street in Kansas City. They'll also have a Zoom link, and you'd have to call the American Postal Workers Union in order to get that. Workshop, What to Do When Your Union Breaks Your Heart. This is another workshop from Labor Notes. It's Tuesday, April 2nd, 6:30 to 8 o'clock. If nothing else breaks your heart on Tuesday, April 2nd, you can go attend this class. Register at labornotes.org/events. And to find our calendar, you can find it on the Heartland Labor Forum Facebook page, where you can also like us and it'll help us spread the word. If you want to get on our Heartland Labor Forum mailing list, you can simply email heartlandlaborforumkkfi@gmail.com. That's it for tonight's show. Tune in next week. We're going to be talking about the East Palestine, Ohio derailment 1 year later, and Brian Merchant's book called Blood in the Machine, The Origins of the Rebellion Against Big Tech. Thanks to tonight's engineer, Stephen Hill. The Heartland Labor Forum is a member of the Labor Radio Podcast Network of over 200 radio shows and podcasts from around the world and the U.S. You can find them at laborradiopodcastnetwork.org. And sometimes people ask us, what is our intro song and what is our outro song? Our intro song is by John McCutcheon. It's Step by Step. And our outro song is by Eddie Starr, and it is called We Are the Working Class. Stay tuned for that one. And also, after that, stay tuned for the People Power Hour with KC Tenants.
Listening to the Heartland Labor Forum, a show by and about workers, our workplaces, and our labor movement. We are radio that talks back to the boss, and you can talk back to us too. Send us your feedback, your workplace stories, news, and ideas for shows to heartlandlaborforumkkfi@gmail.com. Our website, where we archive shows and post our upcoming ones, is heartlandlaborforum.org. The views expressed on this show are ours and not necessarily those of KKFI or any of the unions involved. Tune in every Thursday evening at 6 or to our rebroadcast Friday mornings at 5 right here, 90.1 FM.
We still got our pride, 'cause we are the working class, and that's the place to be. He said if I were Frank Sinatra, I'd pull strings, and through political pull, you'd be on top of the glorified garbage pile with all of their plastic smiles. You'd be with all the self-appointed kings and queens, with all their the dog.